Well, when you don't speak a lot, sometimes you trip over your feet. So I don't know if I'll trip up here, but we'll share with you today. You know, as we worshiped, we said to the Lord, you know, that basically we give our life, we worship Him. I'm going to kind of skip over some of my notes, but I remember that I was part of East Hill Church back in, 1973 to 77. And I was raising my family. My kids, oldest was like 9 and the youngest was 3. And Julie's the youngest is with us today. But I wanted to serve the Lord, and we sang that song, and we said, you know, I wish I had the notes of the song. I can't remember what it was saying, but basically it's, I give my life, here I am, use me. And, you know, I had graduated from Bible school in 69, but I didn't want to be a pastor. I just wanted to be a good Christian. And I'm in a men's class at East Hill Church on Monday night. And as Jerry Cook, the pastor, he said, Lord had called him to go to Papua New Guinea for a meeting for a couple weeks. And I'm listening, and all of a sudden, through a mind's eye, I see this message, you need to go. You know, I had taken Bible, but I didn't want to be a pastor or minister. My dad was, and I saw the inner workings of the church at that point, and I just wasn't interested. I just wanted to go into business and take care of my family. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing this. I love the Lord. I had given my heart to the Lord. I sang those songs the same way. Lord, use me, take me. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing this. You need to go. And it took me a minute before it finally registered home that that wasn't me thinking. That was coming from somewhere else. You need to go. And the long and short of it is we went. You know, it's how it works out. You know, I heard that message, and finally a few weeks later, I get before my pastor, and I said, Pastor, during that meeting, I saw these words, you need to go. And he looks at me, and he says, you know what? The Lord told me you needed to go. And I'm thinking, who am I? Yeah, I'm nothing. I at that time I was a grocery clerk for Fred Meyer. I had a degree in Bible, but what are you going to do with a degree in Bible unless you really feel a calling? And at that point, I didn't feel a calling. I just wanted to raise my family. Go steelhead fishing, you know, fun things like that. And he says, you need to go. Well, Jerry says, you need to go. So I began to change my thinking, and he had me apply. First thing that happened is he says, do you got the money to go for the first trip? And that's a miracle in itself. And I thought, well, I work for Fred Meyer, and I got a bonus coming up of $800. Well, I would need about $1,700, $1,800 to go. And when that voice said to me, you need to go, what I had an image of was, first, that the pastor was going to ask me to go. Secondly, that my father-in-law was going to give me the money, which at that time was no way is my father-in-law going to give me the money because I have a hard time getting along with him in the first place. And I've forgotten what the third thing, but there's three things the Lord showed me. And you know what happened? It came down to the time we got our, we had our tickets all arranged and I'm supposed to pay for it. And this is, we're going to leave on a Sunday, and on a Saturday, I was in for a meeting of those that were going through a Bible school at the church. I was part of it, and I didn't have the money. I had some money. I had $1,000 at one point, and at one point the Lord says, I want you to give that to the church. I had $1,300 saved up. So I gave $1,000 to the church at that point, and I had $300. And I said, okay, how is this going to work? Well, as it turned out, long story short, is that I went home after that meeting. Jerry says, I thought you had the money. And I says, well, I thought I did too, but all I have is $300. And he says, well, it looks like you missed it. And I says, well, I went home and I called my in-laws on the phone. And my father-in-law happened to be a executive in the Fluor Chemical Corporation. He was the engineer. And his wife answered the phone and she says, Phil, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. What do you want? And I told her, I says, I may be off. You can kick me out the door. You can tell me to shut up if you're wrong. But I felt like the Lord was talking to you already about helping me out. And she agreed. And so on Sunday, there's another story. I still didn't have the money in my hand. So Diane went down with another lady in the church to get the tickets. A lady in the church said, we have in our savings account, I'll write them a check and get it out on the savings on Monday. So when she went down on Saturday to see the travel agent, they wrote her a check and the travel agent says, do you have money in the bank for this? She said, well, it's in my savings and I'll put it in Monday. She said, I can't accept your check. So Saturday, she calls me up, and I had to work at Fred Meyer that Saturday, and she said, well, they won't accept the check, and so I guess you're not going. Well, about this time, Diane gets a phone call from our dentist, and our dentist asked Diane, do you have the money? And she says, well, no. I mean, he says, well, the Lord's been talking to me for the last few days about giving you $1,500. I just got it from a client, but I got to pay my bills. And the Lord said, give it to you. But I argued with the Lord, I got to pay my bills. And he says, don't worry about it, give it to him. And so Diane got the $1,500. I had $300. $1,800 was enough. And so we made the trip to Papua New Guinea. And it was a life-changing experience because as a pastor's kid, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go in the ministry. And all of a sudden, the Lord was calling me. We sang that song. We sang that song, Lord, take me, use me. What are you saying today? What's the Lord saying to you? Today, I just want to talk about a few points of things. I asked the Lord what to say, and I think he gave me three or four items just to say to you, to strengthen you in faith. But, you know, that's the Lord's message. Who are we today? Who are you today? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God? Has he saved you? So what's your identity? You and I are children of God, amen? Are we children of God? Do we believe that? I want to talk a little bit of what do we really believe? I got to put my glasses on so I can see my notes. What do we really believe? Do we believe what God says? You know, attending East Hill Church, I came out of another church that was where they speak where the Bible speaks and they're silent where the Bible's silent. We didn't have instruments of music. We only wanted to talk what the New Testament said. You know, we were very, quite legalistic. And the Lord led me to East Hill Four Square Church. And I'm sitting there and beginning to attend because I was so dry. I needed the Holy Spirit, and I was so dry, so I began to come to Four Square because I was really seeking the Lord. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to be on fire for God. And I was sitting in the church, and I'm listening to Jerry Cook speaking, and I had some of my other friends that came from the same church congregation we did, and we were attending East Hill, and I was nitpicking everything he said. I want to make sure it's in the Bible, chapter and verse, you know? And I was nitpicking everything, and the Lord all of a sudden spoke to my heart, and he said, Phil, who's Lord of the church? Who's Lord of the church? And I said, brother, I'm thinking of the church I came out of. The elders are. They're Lord of the church. You know? He was quiet for a minute. And then he said to me again, Phil, who's Lord of the church? Well, the pastor is in a four-square church. You know, the pastor, he's Lord of the church. He's in charge of everything. And it's like empty answer. And the Lord says again, Phil, who's Lord of the church? Well, I think it's the deacon's wives who are really leading thing behind the background, and they're sort of Lord of the church. I wasn't quite clicking. I wasn't trying to get it, you know? And then he says again, Phil, who is Lord of the church? And all of a sudden, it clicked. I mean, we read the Bible, don't we? We read the Bible, we know what the Bible says. Jesus, say it with me, Jesus is Lord of the church. I didn't hear you. Who's Lord of the church? Amen. All of a sudden, I'm seeing individuals who are running the church and operations. I nitpick and I complain about who's Lord of the church. See, God was trying to do something in me to get me ready to do what he wanted me to do. And all of a sudden, here I'm hearing this principle that is really important, because there's too many people that complain about the elders, complain about the pastors. When God has put us in the church, he's placed us. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, it says the Lord places within the congregation each member. God has assigned us. This isn't going to be all my sermon, but I just want to get this one point. God has assigned us to a congregation, and we need to be a part of it. He's made us members one of another. We're here to love each other. We're here to be concerned for each other. We're here to disciple and mentor each other. We're here together to be a force, to be healed, to be strengthened, to be taught, so that we can go out into the world. So we can begin to touch our neighbor, touch our family, touch the community for Christ. For the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, that's our duty, that's our job. You know, I wanted just to be a good old Christian who sat in the seats, pay my tithe, and support the church. But now he's saying more than that. All of a sudden, here I am, and Phil, you need to go. I say to you, what do you need to do? What is God saying to your heart today? What are you holding back? Jesus is still Lord of the church today. He's Lord of the body. And I found that God needs every one of you, every one of us in the body to be supporting to the vision that God has given to the leadership, to the pastor of this congregation, to touch this community. And we can sit down and warm a pew, or we can be at home and we can sit down in the comfort of our home and do nothing, or we can begin to pray and seek the face of the Lord and say, what is it that you want me to do in this community? Here I am at East Hill Church, and I'm sitting in a men's meeting, and the Lord says, you need to go. You need to go. Well, we went. Diane and I and our four children, 8 to 3 years of age, we went to Papua New Guinea. And we lived in a basic wood frame house. You know, we've already gone through the pictures because I sort of bounced around. I'm sorry for confusing the guy on the thing back there, so you can begin to see our kids and everything. But let's go ahead and bounce ahead. And let me get to where I was going to be in my sermon. I'm going to bounce through this really quick. One of the lessons that I learned is that regardless of human status, children of God are always servants. I sort of messed up my outline here, but let me get to this. I went to New Guinea, okay, and I started out teaching the Bible school. Then the Lord wanted me to pastor a church in another town. From there, the church grew, and we had other churches in the community, and so I began to supervise churches. And later, I began I sat on the national board. Lord used me in many ways. Again, here I am, a grocery clerk. You may say you don't have any abilities to do anything, but if God wants to use you, it doesn't matter who you are. Are you with me? Well, after 6 years of being in Papua New Guinea, I would drive down the highway, and people there knew me because I got into the villages and to the areas, and they'd see me on the highway, and they'd say, "Hey, there's Brata Fili," and everybody waved, "Hey, Brata Fili." I mean, that felt pretty good. People knew me, you know, and they'd wave at me, "Oh, Brother Fili." I want to tell you, because I had advanced in the church and God put me in different roles, I got a little bit big for my britches. The old way of saying it, you know, don't get too big for your britches. And after 6 years, I came home. We took a furlough and then we came home because we thought we should come back to the States. And I thought I'd get into a church and pastor a church, but nothing was opening up. And so in order to take care of my family, I got a job running around the neighborhood, dropping off phone books just to get money. The problem is, as I dropped off the phone books, I figured if I ran enough, I could maybe get $12 to $15 an hour. The problem is, then you sit in the place to get the phone books for so many hours, and so now my wage per hour dropped to about $2 or $3 an hour. And so finally, the Lord says, as I'm delivering phone books, he says, "Go down and see the manager at Fred Meyer over in Gleason Street in Portland." And so I saw him, and little did I know that God was already working. And he had touched Gene, the name of the manager, and somebody had called him and says, "Hey, I got a friend that's back in town and needs a job. His name is Phil Franklin." So I went in and I said, "Hey, I used to work for Fred Meyer. I'd like to work for Fred Meyer again." And he says, "What's your name?" And I said, "Phil Franklin." And he says, "Oh, you're a good friend, so-and-so, manager at another store, said to hire you. So come go get a bow tie or get a tie and come back to work." God took care of me. But so I'm working at Fred Meyer and I'm pushing bass carts and I'm starting to complain. I'm starting to gripe. "Lord, I was this and this and that in Papua New Guinea. Here I'm pushing bass carts. Lord, I can't even get into a church." And all of a sudden the Lord says, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Everything you have is what I gave you. I gave you your talents. I gave you your abilities. I opened the doors for you. Who do you think you are?" I got too big for my britches. And so the Lord taught me, you are a servant. Sometimes in the church, we think we have rights and we think we need to do this and we need to be this, but we need to first remember that God called us and he saved us, but we're just servants in his body. You know, an independent spirit tries to rule over the church and has misled many Christians. But we as Christian saints, we must learn submission. We're not submitting to man, but rather to the Lord of the church. We're submitting to the Lord of the church. I was complaining about my pastor. I was griping about the elders and so forth. And the Lord says, "I want my church to have unity. I want them to love each other. I want them to serve each other. I want them to look after each other and help each other. The world will know that you are Christians because you love each other." But I needed to be humbled. That I show the one scripture is, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. But live as servants of God. And the other verse, it's not up there, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be given to you as well. You know, my view of God, the way I came into the situation, my view of God was a weak God, like a fairy tale God. And God is the God of the Bible, but how does he really relate to me in life? And And one of the things that I want to just share with you today is God is alive and he's strong. We need to be open to him. He's God, he's alive and well, he's living, and he's at work behind the scenes and is active in our lives even if we do not see it. He is still active as the Lord of the church regardless of what I think and see happening in the church. And if we have a critical spirit in the church, if we keep complaining about each other, if we keep complaining about the pastor and the leadership, we become divisive and critical, and we slow the growth and the work of the Holy Spirit within the congregation. And what I learned, one of the lessons I learned, one is never get too big for your britches. Just remember, you're God's servant, and he will always take care of you. And the other thing is, Jesus is still Lord of the church. And one thing I learned is be life-giving, prophetic in your prayers and in your words to each other. Do you know what I mean? Instead of, you see a fault in a person, instead of thinking about the fault, begin to say, God, show me what this person is to you. Show me who this person is. And begin to pray that into their life. They may not be there yet, but be prophetic, in their prayers. Lesson number three, let's move on. Let's see if we can catch up on my notes. Go ahead and what's the next one up there? Okay, obey your leaders. That was good. I'll just read that one. Obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that will be of no advantage to you. And I want to share as a former pastor, is I've been in a congregation where that wasn't true. And it is really hard on a pastor when you're struggling, God has spoken to you, and you're trying to give truth, you're trying to disciple and mentor the people, but they're not listening. Obey your leaders, submit to their authority. You know, I got one thing to say too, is if you don't like the way they're doing things, unless God tells you to leave, start praying. You know, going back to East Hill, coming out of the church I came from, when somebody accepted the Lord Jesus, we baptized them right away, okay? And so we rarely saw baptisms in the church, and so I began praying, what about that, Lord? Shouldn't we have baptism? So I started praying, Lord, shouldn't we have baptism? And one Sunday, the pastor gets up. Now, it's not because of my prayer necessarily, but I think I was in agreement with the will of God. And the pastor says, you know, the Lord's been talking to me about this. Baptism is very important for the Christian. It's a time where you begin to make your pledge before men and accept the Lord, and you die to yourself, and you're buried in water, and you come up a new person. So we're going to have baptismal service every Sunday night. It was amazing to see that. And that was a large church, and so every Sunday night you had from 5 to 20 people getting baptized. Another thing that was important to me was that I loved communion, and in our church we had communion every Sunday. So instead of complaining to people and griping like I had been before and becoming a pain to the church and stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit, I began to pray, Lord, how about communion? It's important to us, you know. As often as you gather together, you partake of the communion. And so I began to pray about that. And lo and behold, one day, the pastor gets up and says, you know, communion is very important. And he goes through what communion is. And then he says, what we decided to do, we only take it as a body once a month, but we're going to have communion available at every service. And if you would like to take the time and have communion, we'll have an elder there that'll help you do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is that we are the body of Christ and we are to love each other. And rather than making it hard for our leaders to move the church forward and for the Holy Spirit to work in the church, that's, I may have said the wrong thing. That's what we want to do. We want the Holy Spirit to move forward. We want to be unified. We want to be together. Well, there's a fourth point. Let's see, where are we? Okay, and this goes with it. Our enemies are not people. As a child of God, we are sent to the lost and hurting. You can tell I sort of left my notes, but here. And that's the other thing. I was in church one day, and I had one guy who just irritated me. Every time I got around him, we were in a Bible class, Sunday school class, and he would talk, and he would say something, and it just irked me that he would share. I mean, what he shared was good. And then one day the Lord spoke to me and said, listen to him. And actually what he was saying, what the guy was saying in Sunday school class, was actually what I needed. And so after the Sunday school class, I went to him and I said, what you had to say was really important to me. That really blessed me, really helped me. And all of a sudden, I began to have a love for him. That changed me. And the next week, I had said something in class, and afterwards, he came to me, and he said, you know, what you had to say was really good for me. It's changed me. And sometimes we feel something against people. We feel like they're our enemies. But our enemies are not people. But as a child of God, we are sent to the lost and hurting. And notice that scripture that's on the board. See if I can find my notes where I wrote it in. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. See, we are people that are life givers. That's who you are. That's who I am. I'm a child of God. We're life givers. We're not people who curse people. We don't look for people's faults. We should be looking for that which will strengthen them and help them. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then the fourth thing, and then I want to give you a couple stories and we'll quit. But the fourth thing is, surrender your will to his will. Listen to him. When we are doing the will and work of his way, miracles will come. And this is sort of the introduction into something I want to share of miracles that happened to us when we were living in New Guinea and in Thailand. Surrender your will to his will. When we do the will and work of God his way, miracles will come. And all I want to say about that is, God loves you and he loves me. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what will give you real joy into your life. He knows you. Getting back to him being Lord of the church, he's Lord of the church. He knows what makes the church grow. And I've been in churches that grew and grew because people loved each other, because they sought the will of the Lord. They changed their lifestyle. They got rid of sin habits and other actions in their life that were slowing them down from growing in the Lord. They devoted themselves to God and moved forward. And if you want to be used by God, there is a commitment. There's a commitment that each one of us and that you need to do. Sometimes it's turning off the TV. Sometimes it's getting in the Word and reading more and getting immersed in the Word and letting the Word cleanse you, cleanse your thinking, cleanse your habits. It's that commitment. Listen to the Lord. Read his Word. Quit living the compromised lifestyle. And you know what? Answers to prayer are consistent with walking in the flow of God's will. Now go ahead and click one more. Answers to prayer are consistent with walking in the will, in the flow of God's will. And then let's go to the next scripture. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. This is a principle, and I've been watching, observing, and listening to the Holy Spirit in this, is that as we begin to cleanse our lives, as we begin to humble ourselves before God, as we begin to be the servants, as we begin to love each other, as we begin to listen to the Holy Spirit and begin to do what he's saying, as hard as it may be, when we do that, we begin to open the doors to allow the flow of God's power to work in and through us. Do you want God's power to work in and through you? Yes? Is there only one person who said that? Do you want God's power to work in you? Amen? Thank you. Because I believe it for you. I believe. And I believe that miracles showcase God's love and validate his word. And as we begin to listen to the Lord, listen carefully day by day, as you get up in the morning, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? You know, if we have that attitude, and we become that servant, then God can begin to use us. I want to share a few things. Miracles and ministry. You know, I think some of the things that we see here, it doesn't happen every day, but we begin to see it more and more as we begin to just say, Father, what do you want me to do today? You may think you're nothing. You may not think you have any abilities or talents, but if you just stop and say, God, you are in me. Your Holy Spirit is in me. Guide me today. Lead me today. What do you want me to do? You will find things happening and surprising yourself. I remember working at Fred Meyer. I was working in the deli department putting lunch meats and cheeses on the shelf. And the guy across from me worked for a potato chip company. And he told me about the time that he went out and he cheated on his wife. And I wasn't trying to condemn him or anything, but I said, what if your wife did this to you? Well, I wouldn't stand for it. Well, so you think it's fair that you can cheat on her and not have a reaction from her? There's time to time, I wasn't condemning, but we'd talk and we'd share little things like that. Years later, after I'd come back from the mission field, we did a trip with some people who had come from New Guinea. We went out to Sunnyside Four Square Church and we did a mission presentation. Guess who showed up after the service? This very same person that I had talked to. You know, we think we have no abilities, but you know, you are salt and you are light. And where you go, the Holy Spirit goes with you. And as we begin to pay attention more and more to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can use us. And some ways, I never expected to see that fellow there in the service. And all of a sudden, there he is. He had accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior. His family were now Christians. Well, that led me, all this finally led me to New Guinea. And I was sick, and I had malaria. And I had, what do you call it? I was out of my mind. Satan, in one of these visions I had when I had malaria, Satan came to me and he began to accuse me. He began to accuse me of all kind of sins. He was bringing back all my past, bringing all the bad things I had done, began to accuse me. And I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has saved me. And I just finally screamed out, God, do I have to put up with this? Do I have to put up with this anymore? And right about that time, there was a boom, a big thunder right outside my house. And it scared me out of my wits. Psalm 18 talks about how when we are desperate and we're strangled, we're like in the water and we're sinking in the water and we have seaweed around our neck and we're dying, that we cry out to the Lord, and the Lord hears from heaven and comes down on his fiery chariots with thunder and lightning, and he comes and he saves us and he defeats the enemy. And I was healed. You know, that's our God who takes care of us. That's our God, excuse me, who loves us. Let me just say a couple more things here, and then I think I need to quit. I think time's running, because I don't have a clock here. You know, I could talk all day, and then you'd probably be really upset, wouldn't you? There was a lady in Papua New Guinea. She was a Christian, and without me showing slides and everything, Papua New Guineans, most Papua New Guineans at that time lived in grass huts, you know, and they didn't have a lot of tools, but they go out and dig their gardens and plant sweet potato and harvest the sweet potato and other vegetables, and that's how they survived. But this lady one day, as a Christian, got sick and she died. And the next day, somebody comes running into the pastor. The pastor lived quite a few miles away, and come running to the pastor's house and saying about this lady who died. So let's skip forward a few slides there. Slide down to past Juliana. Okay, right there, that's good. This lady here, she had died. And so Pastor John, he's a long, tall, skinny Papua New Guinean. He walked all the other, he didn't have a car, he walked the several miles over to her village, went into her hut, and she was in a casket, a box. She was laying there. She had cotton on her face and stuffed in her, she had coins on her eyes and cotton stuffed in her mouth, and she was dead. As Pastor John looked around in his village, the people were tearing her gardens out. They're tearing their gardens out because they feel the spirits would come after them if they didn't show enough grief. So they're tearing the gardens out. Some of the ladies would be cutting off a digit of their finger because they had to show enough grief to appease the spirits. And he saw this, and he's thinking, I've taught the people better. They should know better. They don't have this problem anymore. Jesus is their Savior. He's redeemed them. They have power over evil spirits. And so he's really upset, so he starts praying. And he prays. He got there late in the afternoon. He prays all night. And so on the third day in the morning, early in the morning, the sun is starting to come up, and John's still praying. He's still praying. And he hears a noise in the hut. He's the only one in there except for this dead lady. And he looks around, and the casket's still there. And so he continues to pray, and in a few minutes, he hears a voice that says, Pastor, what are you doing in my house? This lady was sitting up in her casket, alive. She tells a story, and I went and saw her. I went to her village and talked to her. She tells a story of when she died. She went through this black tunnel, and she came to a gate, and she opened the gate, and here the street was gold, clear as glass. And she described the same as Mason Hughes, the missionary's tooth. He had a gold tooth, but clear as glass. And so she went walking down the street, and she found a big meeting hall, and there was a big feast going on. And so she went in. She felt she was hungry. She went in to find a place to eat. And as she did, the Lord came up to her and talked to her and greeted her and began talking to her and said, you know, this is where you're destined. Is there any worries you have back in your life? And she said, well, I have children, and my husband, he's not able to take care. I'm really concerned about the children. And so Jesus said, well, would you mind going back? You're going to be here again, but would you mind going back and raising your children? And I have an assignment for you. I want you to share what you've seen. I want you to share what you've experienced with your village, because this is what they're doing. And he began to describe all the old traditional things that they were doing. He says, now, I want you to go back and tell them. So she agreed, and she came back. And she told him. Just before Diane and I left the Papua New Guinea mission field, excuse me, just need the water. How are you doing? You okay? Okay. Just before we left, the same village was having a funeral for someone else. Diane and I had the opportunity to go to the funeral. And when we went out there, what we saw was a festival and a feast. Instead of the crying and the pulling of the hair and the throwing of ashes, instead of the cutting off of the joint and the tearing up of the gardens, they were worshiping, they were singing praises. They had a festival, and they had roasted pigs. They had what they call mumud, the cow, and the sweet potato and all the vegetables that they had. And they opened up and they invited everybody to partake of the feast. And then after that, they had a worship service celebrating that this person who died was a saint. And they're celebrating because now she's graduated. She's with Jesus. And so after the celebration, then everybody began dancing, and they had what they called bilis, and they had flowers and things that they were waving around, and they put the casket on their shoulder, and we did a march of about a half a mile down the road carrying this casket, everybody praising God, singing, and we wound up to the top of this hill where they had dug a hole in the ground and a grave. And it was all decorated. And then they said the final words, and they continued to worship and praise him as they lowered the casket into the ground. The lady had come back and shared what she had seen, and the people had changed. One last thing, and then I'm going to stop. I shared sort of a message like this, and the message that I shared with the congregation in Kainantu, that's where we were in Eastern Highlands Province. I shared scriptures where Jesus healed people, and as he healed them, he says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. And what I shared with the congregation was, guys, we're children of God. We have the power of God. As we dedicate our lives and cleanse ourselves and work for the Lord, God can use us. Like this, according to our faith, these things can happen. So, you know, sometimes you share a message and you think, well, who's listening? They're going to go and they're going to just forget it all. Well, the next day, I got a message that, let's see, go ahead and click the, let's go see if I can write this fellow right here. This guy, his name is Abio Lipme. I don't think he even has a second grade education, but he worked in the local hospital they call him a doctor boy, but he did the cleanup, and he served, and he did all the work in the hospital for the doctors and the nurses. So Abio Lipme heard that message. The first thing he did afterwards, he walked down to the, it wasn't a hospital as much as a big health clinic, but it served as a hospital. He had sick in there. He went in there, and he began to preached to the people, and they said, you know what, Jesus would like to heal you. And I want to share Jesus with you, and he's going to heal you so that you can know. And he ended up emptying the hospital. Everybody got healed. And then at the same service, there was a nurse named Susie. And Susie was from Bougainville originally. And really, she and her husband were a great couple. And she heard this message, and she's a nurse in the hospital, and in comes an older guy with this young girl, about 16, 14, 16, that age, but she was crippled. And so she asked what happened to the girl, and they mentioned, well, when the girl was a couple years old, she fell and she broke her leg, broke her ankle. I can't remember exactly what was broken, but it never healed right, and so she was crippled and lame. And when she got a chance, she came back to the little girl, and she said, have you heard about Jesus? Well, the little girl living way out in the bush hadn't heard a whole bunch about Jesus, so Susie shared with her about Jesus. And then she says, would you like Jesus to heal you? And the little girl, 16-year-old, she says, yes. And so Susie prayed for her. Well, right at that moment, she didn't see anything happen. She didn't see an ankle move or anything like that. But Susie had to do her rounds, and she went to do her rounds in the hospital. An hour or two later, she came back, and she saw the older man that had accompanied the little girl, the young teenager, and she said, well, where is she? And he says, there she is over there. And there's a road that went by in front of the hospital, and the little girl, the teenager, was running back and forth. She had been completely healed. Well, I'm going to close with this. I've got several other things I could tell you. Maybe you ask me to share it at some time, I can share more, but I've been on a trip. It's like Jesus opened the door, he drove up, opened the door to the car, and he says, hey, Phil, you want to take a trip with me? And so I jumped in, and we've experienced amazing things, hard things, but we've been able to see the power of God working. Being in Thailand, Cambodia, being in Papua New Guinea, being in Butte, Montana, being here. What a trip it's been. You know, there's an eternal spiritual truth, and that's that through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are children of God. And in Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, we have the intensely powerful might of God around us, in us, and through us through faith in God. I don't know what you feel about yourself. Maybe you have a lot of sin habits that are weighing you down. You feel like you're unworthy. You can't do anything. But, you know, this is the time for our minds to begin to stop again and recollect and think, by His grace we are saved, not through works, lest any man should boast. We must get rid of the faith-killing mentality of this Western world and fight the fight of faith through prayer, loving, mentoring, action, and the proclamation of the good news of the love of God and His resurrection. We must know the Word, and in faith we must believe and do what it says. And all I want to do today is to share with you, I was nothing. Yeah, I went to Bible school, big deal. Anybody can go to Bible school. I don't have any great talents, you can tell by my preaching, but I have the Lord. You have the Lord. And it doesn't matter your talent. It's just you having a willing, that's what we were. Diane and I were willing to go, and we went overseas, and God opened doors to us. And as you're willing to be used by God, you just say, God, use me today. Use me today, and He will. Remember in PNG, I taught a sermon called According to Your Faith, which were the words Jesus said to those listening. And when the PNG saints heard the sermon in faith, they went out according to their faith and ministered victoriously. Put your hand on yourself and say, I'm a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you believe that? Don't look at your talents, don't look at your abilities, because it's not you doing it, it's God doing it. You have to be willing. You have to be available. And I want to just close with a prayer. If there's anything you need prayer, you can come forward, and I'm sure Tim and others will be here to help pray. But if there's anything that you need for more prayer, if you want to make a dedication to yourself, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, as we, after this prayer, then everybody's free to go, but you're free to come forward for prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your presence. We thank You for the opportunity to be free, to be able to come and worship You. We thank You for the opportunity to hear Your words, to hear how that You love us, to hear that how that You take care of us, to hear how You work in our lives. And Father, I pray that what they've heard from you today, they may take to themselves to know that you are their Lord and they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Father, let your kingdom come, your will be done in this congregation and the lives of these people. We love you. We want you to work in us and through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you and have a great day.